at night beneath majestic skies. And oh, behind them is a God all wise, who fixed all stars each in its lonely place, and wrapped them in a darkened robe of space. Almighty God, how wonderful art thou, to love the world while hands before thee bow. I fail to comprehend it all somehow. And think of how the God of matchless grace is coming in the clouds to claim his own. Such wonders that on earth cannot be known. Almighty God, how scan the heavens with rapture in my soul, and wonder how the God who made the whole could ever fix his thought on such as I, and give his Son upon the cross to die. Almighty God, how wonderful art thou, to love the world while hands before thee bow. I fail to comprehend it all.
Well, if you would tonight, take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we're working through this account. And the whole chapter, I'll tell you, is pointing us to Jesus. This morning's message was Jesus only. It's an interesting chapter. It begins with the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where His glory is shown on His countenance, the glory of God. And it ends with Peter catching a fish with a hook and a line and taking the money out of the fish's mouth to pay tribute to the temple at that time. And an interesting turn of events, but they all point one place, to Jesus. And we take an emphasis tonight in our study on especially Peter. I want you to look with me as we go in God's Word. beginning tonight in verse number 14. Verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Tonight's message is money in the mouth of the fish. And I pray we can draw some conclusions and some encouraging information from this portion of Scripture. You know, God is all the time preparing His people. He's preparing you. He's preparing you consistently and constantly and lovingly for everything that lies ahead. My pastor calls it the unconscious preparation of the Lord. You never know how God is going to use what is coming up in your life. That's why as the child of God, we do not set our affection on the things of earth. We don't worry about the circumstances of life as long as we can keep our eyes fixed on King Jesus. We have great hope. The Lord uses our deep trials and dark times and the valley of the shadow of death to prove Himself mighty as a good shepherd. And Peter is learning lessons, and the disciples are learning lessons, and God is teaching some things here in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew that I believe are very helpful. It wasn't long ago in the context of what's going on in this portion of Scripture that Jesus had asked a very important question to His disciples. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answered correctly. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus made the statement and made it clear that on the fact that He was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, that He would build His church, that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Peter's at work. God's working in Peter's life. His life is continuing. Other things are going on. Peter, in this chapter, has just stuck his foot in his mouth. And it's almost like, sometimes my children, I try not to ignore my children, but every now and then they say something that I was thinking, well, you shouldn't have said that. And I just ignore them. It's best just to ignore them. Well, that's what happened in the text we read this morning. Peter's like speaking to the Lord. He's just seen Elijah. His eyes are bugging out of his head. He saw Elijah and Moses. Wow. He said, I got to do something. Oh, you know something? We don't always have to do something. We don't always have to say something. We don't always have to respond. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of wisdom in standing still and being quiet and watching and listening and learning from the Lord. The Lord speaks to His children in a still small voice, but we try to get active so fast that we miss it often. Peter's standing there with his eyes wide open. He says, I've got an idea. Lord, let's build a tabernacle here for one for Moses and three of them. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And God interrupts his foolishness with the Shekinah glory, a bright cloud, and these words, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. He's interrupted. Peter's learning. I don't think Peter was distracted or deterred when he messed up, as we shouldn't be either. When we mess up, you know what? God's a faithful and forgiving Lord. And when we mess up, try again. And try again. And try again. If I gave up every time I messed up, I'd have quit a long time ago. I'd quit every day. But Peter tried again, and God was teaching Peter. And before you know it, God uses Peter as a great instrument. What's the lesson that God wants to teach us? The lesson that God wants to teach us is that Jesus is faithful, and Jesus is God. Let's look at the Scripture together. We're going to draw our emphasis from money in the mouth of the fish, this last miracle noted here, but we got to give a little attention to the miracle that takes place, this demon-possessed child. Jesus comes into the multitude. Jesus and the inner circle come off the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they meet a multitude of people, and in the midst of the multitude came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, verse number 15, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Ooh, that's a sad thing, is it not? In another one of the parallel Gospels, we get a record that the scribes of that time, they were religious Jews, but they weren't Christian. They weren't believers in Jesus Christ. They like, this is wonderful. The scribes are like, this is wonderful. Here's a lunatic child and a man that's desiring with great faith to see him healed. But these lame-brained disciples can't do anything about it. And the scribes charge the Lord and the scribes charge the disciples that they have no power. Is that so mean? You know what these scribes were more interested in? They were more interested in proving the disciples wrong than they were helping a poor child and his begging father. Now you say, that's terrible. But I want you to know something. We can get caught up in the same kind of foolishness trying to prove ourselves right with other Christian people to the neglect of a world that's dying and going to hell. I'm not here to fight with anybody. I'm here to preach the gospel that Jesus saves and do the work of a New Testament church. These scribes were mean. They were bad to the bone. And the disciples had really messed up. See, God had told them that Jesus Christ had given them the power to do these miraculous things. But Jesus had gone with the inner circle to the Mount of Transfiguration. And while Jesus was gone, it's pretty evident that these men forgot their power source. Why was it that they couldn't cast out the lunatic? Jesus said, this kind only cometh out by what? Prayer and fasting. A consistent prayer life is proof of a man or a woman that believes they need God in order to do God's work. When we neglect prayer, we are in essence saying to God, I got this one. I can handle it. How foolish. You know what Jesus is teaching? He's teaching His disciples as a group now that they need Him. They need Him. Jesus comes on the scene and cures the man. Verse number 17, the Bible says, Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, He's talking about his disciples. That's pretty scathing words, are they not? Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What's the lesson that Jesus is teaching his disciples? He's teaching his disciples that you need me. In order to do God's work, you need God's power. And any attempt otherwise is foolish and useless and worthless to eternity. You need Jesus, and Jesus only. Verse 22, look what the Bible says. It changes the subject for two verses here and puts some things into perspective. Verse 22, the Bible says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. I mean, I know it's bad news, but does he not conclude what he says he's going to do? With he shall raise again. And they were exceeding sorry. Isn't it amazing? We only hear parts. We only hear parts. And this is a great preface of what happens in Peter's life. A time where he makes another seeming mistake. A time where he's confronted again by an enemy. Confronted again about who Jesus is. Another issue boils up. And he's reminded that Jesus is faithful. When Jesus spoke here and said that he would be killed and raised the third day, they were exceeding sorry. They failed to recognize that Jesus would raise again. They failed to recognize that Jesus was faithful. And you can be sure tonight that Jesus is faithful. Why? Because Jesus is God. Look with me as we consider the money in the mouth of the fish. Verse number 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He says, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. This miracle is only recorded right here in the book of Matthew. It's the miracle of money in the mouth of the fish. And Peter learns a valuable lesson. Let's look at the Scripture together. It's important that we see it and understand, beginning in verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? Now, it's important that we know what the money is for. Now, why in the world were they asking for money from Peter? Because there was a payment due. The payment was due, and the payment that was due was money to support the temple or the tabernacle. This was something that had been going on for many years. We have a record of it in the book of Exodus, somewhere about the 30th chapter. 30th chapter, verse 11. We have a report, and we have the incident of where this began, and it was continued now into New Testament times, that every Jewish man over the age of 20 was to give a tribute, something like a half of a shekel, basically 2 or 3 days' wages in order to support the work of the Lord in the temple. The Bible actually said that it was for the saving of your souls. It was to do the work of God in the temple or the tabernacle, God's way. In the book of Nehemiah, it had continued, and we have a record of it again in Nehemiah chapter 10. The Jewish men paid tribute to the temple, the house of God, God's house, in order that the house of God might sustain itself. Now, these men have come to Peter. Peter seems to be alone in Capernaum at this time. And they say to Peter, they say, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" There was a bill to be paid. It was a bill that needed to be paid. And the bill was to be paid to the house of God for God's work. When asked this question, Peter's immediate answer was, "Yes." Yes, I believe his answer is probably very accurate. Jesus never defied the law. He obeyed and fulfilled the law in every way. And if this was something that was required in the law, then Jesus would have fulfilled it. He had a payment due. And Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Yes, the payment was promised." Have you ever said something that as soon as you said it, you thought, "Probably should ask before I said that"? I've said it recently in the pulpit that something I wish I'd never said. Y'all laugh like you know what I'm talking about. I think, man, I maybe shouldn't have said that. Or you make a commitment for someone else and you think, "Oh my, I answered for them and I shouldn't have." I remember this happening on numerous occasions as a child, being overzealous, doing things that I shouldn't, saying things I shouldn't, and feeling really bad about it. And I can just imagine Peter on his way to meet the Lord, wherever he is, thinking, "I've got to talk to the Master." As a matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say in verse number 25, "He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him." Now, this is the scene that I picture in my mind. Peter's thinking, "I said yes. I shouldn't have done that. I've got to talk to the Lord. I've got to tell Him what I've done. I've got to try to figure this out, make sure I said the right thing. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" He's got a heart full of worry again. And he comes into the house, the Bible says, and Jesus prevented him. Jesus goes, "Don't say a word." Omniscient God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, says, and then He proceeds to give this interesting discourse that if you're not aware of what's going on in the paying of tribute to the temple, it's kind of funny. Jesus says to Peter, He says, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" Has anybody ever told you, "What were you thinking?" I told my son the other day, I took his little head and I took my finger and I go, "What are you thinking?" "I'm sorry, Daddy." It's been done to me a lot. "What are you thinking?" Peter had just claimed just a few chapters back that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He was the Christ. What business does God's child have paying tribute to God's house? God paying God to do the work of God, it didn't make sense. He says, "Peter, what are you thinking? What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute?" Who do kings tax? Is the question he asks. Who do kings tax? And he answers his question. He asks another question. Do they tax their own children or strangers? Peter answers in verse 26. Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." That's true. A king does not tax his pretty little princess in order for him to have a kingdom. He taxes strangers. Jesus says to them, then are the children free. Do you know what he's saying? He says, Peter, you answered yes. But the answer is, I don't have to if I don't want to. Jesus is answering. He said, you've claimed that I'm the child of God, that I am the Son of God. You've professed my deity, and you were right. And deity does not pay tribute to deity. He said, I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay. But here's how the Lord works. The Lord identifies with His children. And in mercy and in consideration of the whole situation, look at the decision that Jesus Christ makes in verse 27. He says, I don't have to pay, notwithstanding, but notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. There's a distinction in this verse of Scripture. I promise I'm getting to the message. It's important for us to understand the Bible. There's a distinction in this portion of Scripture that's very interesting to me. Verse 27, the Bible says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. I recommend that you mark that little word, we. Jesus is including himself with Peter. He says, you know, I don't have to pay tribute, but just so we don't offend them, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a line. I want you to take a hook. I don't want you to catch fish, a multitude of fish. I want you to catch a fish in a sea of thousands, not with a net, with a hook and a line. And when you pull that fish out of the water that bites that line, in its mouth will be the perfect amount of money to pay your tribute. He said, and when you've paid the tribute, he said, you'll find a piece of money, that take, the conclusion of the chapter and the conclusion of the verse, and give unto them for me and thee. If I were writing this, I would have said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go and do what I've commanded you to do, and give unto them for us. But the Holy Spirit has a perfect economy of words. And there's a distinction. You see, the Lord identified with Peter when he was concerned. When he was concerned that they might offend the men taking the tribute up. But when it came time to give the money, he separated himself from Peter because Peter owed tribute according to the Old Testament Scripture, but Jesus did not. Jesus didn't owe a thing, but he said, I'm going to give some for me and some for thee. Now, God's faithful. God proved himself to Peter again. Peter had somewhat stuck his foot in his mouth, and Jesus was proving himself again to Peter. The message is simple. Jesus is faithful. Peter had no need to fret because Jesus would be faithful. Why can we be so confident that Jesus is faithful? Because I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is faithful because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In this miracle, he illustrates to us that he was not responsible to pay tribute to God because he was God. Jesus is faithful because Jesus is God. Can I tell you something? The Lord is always working in our lives. preparing us, teaching us. The lessons we learn along life's way are very important. God had a special plan for Peter. As a matter of fact, you'll not find any of the apostles who Jesus did more miracles for than him. Think about it with me for a minute. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus helped him catch a multitude of fishes when he began to follow. Jesus helped Peter to walk on water. Jesus, after Peter had foolishly whacked off Malchus's ear, put it right back on. Jesus miraculously delivered Peter from prison. Why? Because the Lord was proving Himself. And I want you to know something. I pray to God through the great intercessor, Jesus Christ. Cody Sturgill, very insignificant human being, has direct access to God. I have the Holy Spirit of God living in my heart. I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have direct access to the throne of God. And yet, sometimes I worry. And yet, sometimes I fret. And yet, sometimes my heart gets cold. I thank the Lord from a miracle of money in the mouth of a fish wants us to know something very plain and very simple. Jesus is faithful. Why? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is faithful because Jesus is God.